2 Timothy chapter 2, let's pick up our reading in verse number 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you again for the privilege of being able to come to the house of God. Thank you for the songs of the saints, and Lord, for the good spirit that we feel in the church today among the brethren. I pray, Lord, that there are those that are without and not with us tonight, sickness and affliction, or those traveling, that you'd be with them in whatever the state that they might be in. Pray that you would give grace and help, healing to those that are sick and afflicted in body, and bring them back to our assembly when the time comes. I pray and ask that you would bless the night service, that you guide and direct in the thoughts that you've laid upon my heart, speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I thought originally that, as I got listening to Brother Ronnie Simpson, yes, last week, coming into church, just right there at the end, as he was just closing things down, he just made a statement that kind of struck with me, and of course it didn't really come out like I thought it would, but still it kind of led me in this direction as he made a statement along the lines of basically unlikely vessels, which is one of my points there. And but we're looking here, getting our jump start here in Timothy, and we're going to probably start here, go away and look at some people in the Word of God, and then come back here and finish up in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, here he talks about in verse number 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And this is not anything that you haven't heard through the years about being a vessel used of God. And I just kept kind of thinking in the Word of God of all the many different people and all the many different personalities. That's a good word there. I'm looking for personalities in the Word of God that God used and give us examples of. And we could just go to several different ones there in the Word of God and mention each one. I thought I was going to use Moses. I thought I was going to use the young maiden. I don't know if it names her, that told Naaman to go to Elisha there with his leprosy, and then get the word from Elisha on what he needed to do and go dip himself in the River Jordan. And so there was that young girl. And I thought that my original thoughts might be going about those that could be used and should be used, and a lot of those that maybe don't think that they can be used of God, but still can be used of God in many different ways. And some of that will maybe come out in my message tonight, but as we look into these. But the Bible again tells us here, tells in 2 Timothy about, these are vessels, some to honor and some to dishonor. And some of gold and some of silver, and also of wood and earth. And we've heard preaching along through the years about the different types of vessels that God uses. I'll just go away and we can come back. But some unlikely vessels. Actually, let's rewind. I'm going to flip. That's my second point. I'm going to make unlikely vessels my second point. I mentioned men to do this. But unwilling vessels. Unwilling vessels. If you'll turn to 1 Kings 19. We'll get the negative before we get to the positive. And 1 Kings chapter number 19. Of course, we know, and Elijah was used much of his life, but here There was a time in Elijah's life that he did do a little bit of running away, and I kind of maybe experienced a little bit of that per se. I mean, just the fear of, and you get to hearing things, and it might send you, put a little doubt and a little fear in your heart. I interviewed for a job out there at the place, finally got an interview. There was a little mix-up. Two other times that I applied for that same job and then never did get an interview. There's a little mix-up at how Frankfurt was looking at my application as far as my qualifications. They was looking at my time here at Island Ford Baptist Church as many different positions over a 16-year period of time. But it was one position with many different jobs and aspects to that job, that one position. And once we got that cleared up, then I did get the interview, and I found out Thursday, because it was a week ago Friday, that I had interviewed and never heard anything. And come Thursday, I had pretty much given in to the fact that, and still might not get the job, but I had pretty much given in to the fact of some rumors that had come around that you know, that they had already had somebody and one thing and another. And I, again, was just given over to that fact. But then I went in to sign an evaluation of mine, and my supervisor told me that I had a good interview and that I was still in the running as of Thursday, and he reiterated that on Friday, and so the decision hopefully will be made by the end of this coming week, and so we'll find out whether I did or not. But the fact of just hearing some rumors, and it puts a little doubt in your heart, and you know, a little fear in your heart, if you will. And we see this here in Elijah's life, here at the end, how that, you know, when he heard from Jezebel. And so let's pick up a reading in verse number 1 of 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entering end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi thou shalt anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehalah shalt thou anoint to be the prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu that shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees to which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. But so Elijah, you know, fear, you know, we mentioned that just a little bit. Fear and faith is something that all we as Christians deal with, I think, in our daily walk. And a man as powerful, if you will, as Elijah was, and how that God used him in great ways, like in verse in chapter number 18, how that the word of the queen Jezebel came to him, and how it sent him running, you know, to the wilderness, and just the fact that he run, I marked him really at this time in his life as an unwilling vessel to be used. And again, fear sent him running. And of course, I couldn't help but to think of Jonah as an unwilling vessel. God called. God wanted him to do something. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So two men, you know, one was a juniper tree, one was a gourd that at even after he finally did go to Nineveh, this pity partying preachers. Oh, that's hard to say, and I think, you know, fear come upon even men of God. And even men that have walked with the Lord a long time and seen God do great mighty things, just like Elijah. But when God calls them to do something else, you know, Elijah's saying, let me die. Amen. And of course, he does go ahead and appoint his successor in Elisha, but it was quite a time before Elisha was called up to be with the Lord. And lots of times, maybe God will deal with us, and we want to come up with excuses, and like Jonah, or, you know, that, I mean, that was an enemy that he was going to preach the gospel to preach the message to, that message of repentance to, and he was unwilling in his heart. But finally God got him to where he could turn him around, and he went to Nineveh and did preach. But then again, he had that I knew you was going to do that, Lord, statement, that kind of pity party that he had there under the gourd. And of course, God dried up the gourd, and there again. So here's these two men that maybe had an unwilling time there, especially Jonah, there in their hearts. And, you know, I got to think, we just came out of missions conference, whatever. But lots of times, maybe not a call to preach, but just a call to do something for God. And we are unwilling vessels, like Jonah, like Elisha, maybe in this that part there toward the end of his life. We don't want to anymore. And maybe we don't want to in the beginning. But God's got a way of sending a whale, a great fish, to take us down, 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 and maybe turn us around to where it makes us willing. Is it Paul Levine? Had that little song that he used to play from time to time there on the Bible track Echoes, called the Hornet Song. And they talked about them hornets. Hey, God doesn't make us, but he has a willing to, he has a way to turn us and makes us want to, you know, to turn us around. Whether it be a hornet to get us driven in the right direction, or whether it be a whale to take us down and then spit us back up to get us going in the right direction. And so he does know how to change our want to. Amen. So these unwilling vessels and then unlikely vessels. And of course, I'm just going to refer to it. We heard Brother Blue preach about it there in 2 Kings chapter 7. And then it was in my message. We just kind of halfway referred to it a little bit there. And when I preached 2 Kings chapter 7, verse number 3, those four lepers there. unlikely vessels. You know, we do not well if we do not tell. When Brother Blue preached that, I've heard him preach that before. And just here's four lepers that they were going to die anyway. And of course, they were unclean in their leprosy. And God used them to deliver that city that was besieged. And you know the story. It was preached. I'm not going to re-preach it. But very unlikely vessels. Somebody that you would say, God can't use them. But God did use them. And lots of times I think maybe we're willing, to be used of God in whatever capacity He wants us to be used in. I just got hit myself right there. Whew, thank you, Lord. Anyway, I hate when that happens. But anyway, it's good. It's good when that happens too. Some things in the back of my mind that I just got tagged myself. Oh my. Anyway. But we're willing, but sometimes we simply say that we're unlikely, we're unworthy, we can't be used of God because of this in our life, because of that in our life, because just like Moses, when he was called there at the burning bush, I didn't use him in this, but I thought about Moses. He was a prince basically in Egypt. He was of the children of Israel, but he was brought up in Pharaoh's household and raised as a prince. And then when he was called to go back to Pharaoh and to go back and deliver the children of Israel and to lead them out of Egypt, he was like, not me, Lord, but God had prepared him, as he was growing up. He knew how to present himself before the Pharaohs because he had grown up in Pharaoh's house. There was lots of ways that God had already prepared him for that job. But he was saying he was slow to speech. Of course, God used him to speak to the Egyptians, and God used Aaron to speak to the children of Israel. When you read the Word of God there, and God, God has His way. But lots of times, sometimes we just feel that we are not capable of doing the job that God has called us to do. And when you look at a lot of these stories in the Word of God, just like those four lepers, you think, well, they, according to the law, were unclean. They were without. And the Bible tells us in that story how that, we're going to die one way or another. We're either going to die of our leprosy, we're going to die of starvation, or we're going to go to the enemy camp and we're going to die. So they just pretty much, had just given themselves over to that fact that they was going to die. But God, used those four unlikely folks, to go out and to actually bring back the news that the enemy was gone and that the spoil was there for the taking. And then another person, if you want to turn to Judges, I appreciate Brother the lessons in Judges when Brother Steve was teaching in the Sunday school. But Judges chapter 6, and we've heard much mentioned about Mr. Gideon in times past, but even him, and again, lots of times when God calls, excuses are made, or not necessarily excuses, but, a question mark gets brought up to God. And we see that in Gideon's life here as well. In verse number 11 of Judges chapter 6, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And so, again, an unlikely vessel in Gideon's eyes. He's looking at himself and he said, I've come from a poor family
And I'm the least of my father's house. An unlikely vessel. Looking at him, if we had just based our knowledge of Gideon on that verse right there, we know people that we could look at that maybe, that don't come, if we were doing the picking, you know what I'm saying? And it's amazing if we were doing the picking. Oh, let's just go back. You remember how it was. We're going to pick teams. You're the captain and you're the captain. Okay? So you start picking. I want so-and-so. I'll take so-and-so. Give me so-and-so right there. I'll take so-and-so. Well, I was always one of the last ones picked. Amen. Never the captain. Amen. And always one of the last ones picked. Because when I was younger, I was, still am. Amen. On the chubby side, I couldn't run as fast as all the rest of them could. My skills, say we're playing baseball, my skills might not be as they were. So really, when people was doing the picking, when the captains of the team was picking teams, and then they get down to the end and say, they get this look on their face like, give me him, At first, I want him. But at the end, okay, I'll take Doug. And then you get so-and-so. And the way the last one's picked. You know how it is. And so if we're doing the picking, lots of times, if God said, I want you to do the picking for a job that I've got somebody to do, we would look at all their qualifications. Kind of like picking pastors these days. You hear these churches. We don't want necessarily what God wants. God knows their heart. God knows a lot about them that we don't necessarily know about. I appreciate how we wound up. But yeah, I hear tales, send a resume too. And so, I've heard from a lot of different, about a lot of different pulpit committees that, and there's places online that you can send your resume. And they'll go through the resumes. And again, they're looking at what you've done, where you've done it, where you've been to college. I heard tell of a preacher that recently took a church, and the men took him to the basement, asked him some questions, so then nobody could come up with any more questions to ask. And they asked the preacher, they said, have you got anything what you'd just like to share? He goes, well, I'd like to tell you that I'm saved, since nobody's asked me if I was even saved or not. So that's pretty important to pick a pastor, to know whether he's saved or not. Amen. But lots of times they want to know what school you went to and so on and so forth. So if we was doing the picking, we'd look at their pedigree. We'd find out where they went to school and how big of a church they pastored in the past and, what kind of programs that their previous church maybe had and, lots of things like that. But that ain't the way God picks them. Hallelujah. And so what we would do, he sometimes picks the least of all of them. I mean, you think of David, as all of David's brothers went in front of Samuel, here they are of tall of stature and, just men's men. And, as he said, surely this is the one. And God said, nope. Have another one come by. I said, surely this is the one that's going to be set before king. God said, uh-uh. And then finally, after all of them in the house would pass by, he said, is there yet another? And he said, oh, yeah, there's one more. He's out in the field tending sheep. And so the least of all the brethren comes through, and God said, that's the one. And God used David a mighty, mighty way. Even in his youth, God used him. But to look upon him, you would say, no way, Lord. He's just a ruddy youth. But God used that young ruddy youth to kill a giant and then to lead Israel the way that he led Israel, and actually to set up a throne in Israel that is kept his name and going to keep his name, that one day Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne of David and the lineage of David, which is Jesus Christ in his earthly form, if you will, earthly body, was a part of. That heritage of David, but David was not one that we, looking upon, would have picked in the first place. And so these unlikely vessels, Gideon being one of them, he says, I'm of a poor family and I'm least of my father's house. You know, and lots of times maybe when God's dealing with us about something in, you know, some kind of a service, some kind of something that we can do for Him, we say, you talking to me? Do you know where I'm coming from? Do you know what my past is? But the God says, well, your past is past. Remember that day when you bowed and I forgave you of your sins? There's still some qualifications that the past, I mean, the pulpit is one of those that the past does affect you, amen, and the present affects you. However, but there is still some jobs in the Word of God and in the service of God that people can hold, you know, and regardless of, you know, what you think of yourself and what, regardless of your pedigree and, if you will, and regardless of your qualifications, God can still use you. He used Gideon. He used David. He used many others in the Word of God that we could go to. I couldn't help but to go right here. These unlikely vessels in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Hallelujah. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. If God had chosen some of those David's brothers, you say, yeah, just like, you say, yeah, I know why God chose him. You know, he's a man's man. And I can see that. You know, I can see God choosing him. And, but then, he would have got the glory because, you know, he was, I think of Samson. Nope, it has been tossed to and fro about just how, you know, lots of times when you see pictures drawn of and depictions of Samson, he's this, you know, big bodybuilding kind of guy. But really, I mean, if he was just a plain old normal Ricky Cothran kind of guy. About as big as around as Jesse, you know. Can you imagine? I mean, just a skinny dude that got the Spirit of God come upon and was able to carry the gates of the city out and set it on a hill. You know, who got the glory out of that? God did, because there was no way that, you know, a person in his own strength could do that. So God would get the glory. And so I kind of think of it, if Samson is being somebody maybe like that, you know, somebody that you wouldn't think that had the strength to slay the men that he killed and to carry the gates of the city. And even, you know what, sure, I'll put you over here between these two pillars because, you know, because we know, even though you've maybe been strong in the past, there ain't no way that you're going to pull this house down. Well, they learned different. Because God was upon him, and God, all his strength came from God. And when he gave glory to God in the end, then he got his strength back. So, unlikely vessels. We can be used, even though we might think ourselves unlikely, because that's who God uses. The foolish things, the weak things, the base things. And I pointed out years ago, you know, this is the base of the pulpit. You know, the bottom. That's where God pulls us up out of the bottom. Amen. And that's who he uses. And you know, it's amazing how God would, but again, that not the flesh might not be gloried, but that God might be glorified in each and every one of us. And so unlikely vessels. And finally, of my uns, if you will, an unworthy vessel. Isaiah chapter number 6. Not unworthy necessarily because of their lives, but unworthy in the fact that they feel that they are unworthy to be used of God. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So we said, Woe is me, Isaiah saying, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy to be to see the King of the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphims flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Even though he, in verse 5, felt unworthy because he had seen the Lord. Once his iniquity had been purged, when the call came, he said, Here am I, Lord, send me. Or here am I, send me. You know, and so he felt unworthy to be used of God. And I couldn't help but one more to think, and we'll go back to Timothy real quick. And that's Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul, who had a pedigree, you know, we probably would have picked Saul because, I mean, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was of the stock of Israel. But we might have picked him, but he felt unworthy to have the call upon his life that God had given him. Unto me, and he described himself, who am less than the least of all saints. But God gave him grace that he should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, and really those that God seems to prosper, and some maybe outward, God has used them, you know, here in the earthly ministries. And I've seen men that God seemed to use when they had that humility that about them, like Paul, who God used, but they kept that humble spirit. But then they get to listening to men. Look what you've done. Look what you've done. Look what you've done. Then they start writing their own resume. Yeah, look what I've done. And when they get that spirit about them, God just kind of takes his hand off of them, it seems like. And their ministry ain't quite what it used to be. And we need to be careful. We need to remain feeling like Isaiah and feeling like Paul. That even though God may have called us and God may be using us, so God gets the glory, that we keep that humble spirit and feel that we are unworthy to be used of God, like Paul felt unworthy there. And he described himself again, less than the least of all saints. When we get pride in our life, when we get puffed up, then God does not get the glory anymore. We want to take the glory. And we could, you know, preachers, evangelists, we through the years that has that pride issue and seems to have more and more the longer they go. And how that one time God seemed to use them when they had this kind of spirit about them. But then as time went and they got popular and, you know, they're booked all the year and, you know, the big meetings and the big names. And they, you know, they're not looking for necessarily God's name and, you know, come and see what God's doing down at the church. They look for their name on the marquee when they pull into town. And then God stops using them because of the pride that has come into their lives. Now, I'll turn back to 2 Timothy. Again, we're looking at the vessels there. And then we'll be done with the thoughts tonight. But in a great house, let's back up. Let's see. Go maybe just a little bit earlier than this. We started in verse 20. Let's see if I can go back up just a little bit here. There we go. Verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these. I'm going to stop right there. Because I looked what these referred to. And I looked and I looked. And then reading in the commentary, one of the commentators, I think most of them did, kind of pointed it back up to the fact of that vessel of the vessels of dishonor. And then one even pointed back of vessels of dishonor, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus was, who have erred concerning the resurrection, and saying that the resurrection had passed already and overthrew the faith of others. So vessels of dishonor. And so if these refers back to the vessels of dishonor, there in verse 20, it says, right, I'm 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So basically distancing yourself from those that are dishonorable vessels. And again, pointing back, shun, verse number 16, studying to show thyself approved, but then shunning profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And it goes on to say, and their word will eat as doth a canker. So those profane and vain babblings, then those dishonorable vessels, and separating ourselves from them, then the Bible tells us there that we can become vessels of honor. And he shall, if we'll purge himself from these, those things prior to that, then he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Then he goes on with some more admonitions. Again, Paul writing to Timothy here, a pastoral epistle. We can all learn from this. He's telling this is to him as a man of God, to a man of God. But again, we can also look at this and apply it to us to be vessels of honor. He says, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness. So flee and follow. Those youthful lusts that we're to just get away from. Again, we're talking about a vessel that God can use. And then flee those and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid. That's going back up to shunning profane and vain babblings. We're to shun those profane and vain babblings, and we're to avoid foolish and unlearned questions, knowing that they do gender strifes. That's exactly what those vain babblings do. They increase into more ungodliness. You know, getting the Word of God, the pure Word of God, you can allow yourself open ears to those vain babblings, profane and vain babblings the Bible tells us about. And those questions, those foolish and unlearned questions, we can just listen to those and they will cause us to err if we do, if we allow ourselves to listen to those things, knowing that they do gender strifes. Verse number 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You can get snared, we as children of God. He's talking to a preacher, Paul is, to Timothy, in this letter here to Timothy. You can get snared if you allow yourselves to listen to these vain babblings and these unlearned questions, foolish and unlearned questions. You know, there's some just silly stuff out there. And look into the truth and dig into the truth of the Word of God and avoid all those other things, because if you open yourself to those other things, then you'll be snared and could be taken captive, if you will. And so you can recover yourselves by the truth. But some just thoughts on the vessels tonight. And again, unwilling vessels, unlikely vessels, unworthy vessels. We should feel ourselves, if we are, if we do serve Him in any way, we should feel unworthy, but we should, and we're probably unlikely, but we should be willing, not like Jonah. We should be willing, because we know Jonah's story there and Jonah's example, how that he was unwilling, and what God, how he had to learn the hard way. And we should be willing vessels. We should simply say, God, here I am, like he says, like Isaiah, Lord, here I am, send me. Lord, you know, I feel unworthy. Woe is me. I'm unclean. Have unclean lips. Lots of times when God calls us, we're like Gideon. Who, me? I'm the least of my father's house, and we're poor. But God used Gideon in a mighty way. Again, when God uses these vessels, He chooses these vessels that He might get the glory. Gideon, you know, went up against with the 300 men, 301 men, including Gideon. He went up against that great multitude of the army that God might get the glory. We would have never said, you know, to go do that way. But God chose it that way, that God might get the glory. And when God chooses you, though you might feel unworthy, just allowing God to use you in whatever capacity He wants to use you in, then He gets the glory. And keeping that right attitude about that, not letting pride creep into your life, keeping that right attitude about God's service, then that He might get the glory and the honor that's due unto His name. That's the message tonight. If the song leader will come, Elizabeth will come, we'll have a song of invitation. If the Lord spoke to you in any way, then the altars are open tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the message. I thank you, Lord, for opportunity to be used of Thee. And I pray that that You would continue to open doors of service, not only for me, but other people. Lord, that those that may be a little reluctant to be used of God, I pray that You would allow them just to say, Lord, here am I, send me. And Lord, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do whatever You'd have me to do. And then, Lord, I pray that You'd use them in a mighty way and use our lives that we might not get glory in us, but, Lord, that You might be glorified in us and through us. And we'll thank You and praise You for it. I ask and pray that You'd, again, just take the message, bless the invitation, and I ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. What number?
Page 58.